מסכת בבא קמא דף פ וב בעיר הבא, שבט הפוחתו בדמים מהו? לבא זה question, if someone causes injury to someone else, that diminishes his value in terms of his livelihood. This question is not very clear, so the Gemara will explain. הכי דמי, כגון שיקאו על ידו ושמתה ידו וסופה לחזור מי. Someone who hits someone else's hand or arm and it becomes weak, but it will get better. So say he maybe breaks his arm, but it will heal, and then it will be totally fine, all right? Or smashes his hand, and he can't use it for a while, but then eventually it will be totally healed. So it's a temporary injury. Does one have to pay nezik for that? We saw before that if you cut off someone's arm or take out his eye, then you can say this is a permanent injury. How much was he worth before and how much after the injury? But here it's going to get better. So do we look at the what he is right now, that he cannot use his hand? Or do we say, well, eventually it'll get better, so therefore there's no nezik? Do we say, since it's going to get better, so he did not actually cause, you have to still pay for medical bills and pain and the loss of livelihood for the time being and shame that will be involved, but nezik, well, he's still the same person and it's going to get better, so since it's temporary, he doesn't pay anything in nezik. Or do we say, well, right now his value is diminished. If you put him on the slave market right now, I'm sure he would get less, even though you could say, well, it's just a broken arm, it'll get better. Still, there's going to be somewhat of a lesser value, so maybe he does have to pay nezik. That's the question. We're going to try to answer Rabba's question from the following Mishnah. Tashema hamakeh aviv imo velo asa bahen chabura v'chaver b'chabero b'yom ha-kippurim chayav b'chulan. Someone who hits his father or mother, but without causing a bruise. See, if he would cause a bruise that would shed blood of one of his parents, then he would get the death penalty. Since he would get the death penalty, he would not have to pay anything. But if he hits his father or mother in such a way that does not cause them to bleed, does not cause a bruise, then he would have to pay, right, all five things. Similarly, the Mishnah says, if someone hits someone else on Yom Kippur, see if it was on Shabbat, and you cause someone to bleed on Shabbat, then that would be liable to capital punishment for violating Shabbat. However, on Yom Kippur, there's not capital punishment, but rather only karet, and so one does pay the monetary obligation, all five things, for hitting someone on Yom Kippur and causing them an injury. So our proof is going to be from the first thing regarding parents, right? What does that mean that he didn't make he has to pay all five things even though he didn't cause an injury? Is it not talking about exactly our case where a person hits his father or mother on the hand, but it's an injury that will heal, and yet you have to pay all five things, including nezik? So this resolves Rabba's dilemma. Yes, you have to pay nezik even for a temporary injury. Right? Isn't that a good proof? No, not necessarily. It's not a good proof because this Mishnah can be talking about where the child causes his parent to become deaf, but without causing any injury in terms of shedding blood. So therefore, it would not be liable to capital punishment, but he's causing them to be deaf permanently. So it is, in fact, a permanent injury. So it's not relevant to Rabba's question. However, Rabba himself said that someone who causes his father to become deaf does get the death penalty because it's impossible to make someone deaf without causing a bruise. There's going to be a little bit of blood even in his inner ear, even if it's not visible from outside. So there is an actual injury of shedding blood, and therefore they would get capital punishment. Since they would get capital punishment, that can't be the case of the Mishnah, because then he wouldn't have to pay. So that is not the case. Rather, it's where the child shaved his father's hair off and causes him injury and embarrassment in that way. Well, if so, if that's the case, hair grows back. So that is a temporary injury, and that would actually resolve Rabba's dilemma. Now you think the Gemara would be happy that now we're able to resolve Rabba's dilemma. The problem is that this is not necessarily this case, and because it could be a different case, and therefore it's not necessarily a proof. We're talking about a case where, yes, indeed, the son causes father baldness, but not just by cutting it, but rather by using a depilatory, like a nair or acid, and in such a way that was so strong that his hair will not return. So then this would be a permanent, this would be a permanent injury. It's a, even though it's an injury that does not cause shedding blood, therefore the child will not be capital, be liable for capital punishment. However, it is permanent, and therefore has to pay all five things, but there's not a proof for Rabba, who is talking about a temporary injury. Okay, so in this case, Sa'ad, what would be the five things that he would have to pay? De'itle kar tofne bereshe besavche mehanhu kar tofne. The father would experience a lot of pain from fissures on his head because of that acid that caused those fissures, and so that would be the payment of Sa'ad. Ripur debayasuye, if he has medical bills, because it will require healing. Shevet deva markir bekube, how would he lose his livelihood just because he has no hair? So what if he's a, you know, a farmer, a manual laborer, or whatever? So he could still work. We're talking about a case where the father dances in a tavern. He is a jester, and jesters would have to make all kinds of head gestures. We're talking about like think of a mime that's shaking his head in funny ways to make people laugh. It's probably a Greco-Roman form of entertainment that he would have to do that. And that would cause him pain because of these fissures on his head. He would not be able to do these gestures and dances, and therefore he's losing livelihood as long as it's still painful for him. So that's the shevet they would have to pay. Very interesting that the rabbis knew about this kind of Greek entertainment, and could imagine that there would be a Jewish guy who would be involved in such a thing. Okay, probably maybe a far out case, but still, it could be talking about such a case. Boshet en lecha boshet gadol mizeh, and humiliation, no greater shame than someone having no hair. Some people shave their head, but talking about someone who wants to have hair, and this son causes him his injury, so that causes him a lot of shame. Umilata de ba'ayale le rabba. So therefore, there's no proof from that Mishnah, because that Mishnah could be talking about a permanent injury, and therefore we don't have an answer to it. Now, umilata de ba'ayale le rabba, this question that rabba was not sure about, peshita le labaye lahakisa rabba lahakisa. Rabba is the teacher of both Abaye and Rabba. So even though rabba, the teacher, did not find an answer, his students, they assumed that they did have an answer, although they had opposite answers, one to one extreme and one to the other. The itmar, because we have a statement, hikahu al yado v'sameta v'sofa lachzor, if someone hit someone else's hand or arm and cause it to be weakened, that he cannot use it temporarily, but it will get better. Abaye amar, noten lo shevet gedola v'shevet ketana, v'rava amar eno noten lo ela deme shibto shebechol yom v'yom. Abaye says, he has to give, shevet gedola is talking about nezek. So he does have to pay nezek for even the temporary loss of use of his hand. Shevet katana is loss of livelihood for that time period that he cannot, maybe he's a scribe and he won't be able to write that at that time. And Rava says, no, he only gets the regular shevet of the daily shevet, but not nezek. There would be an interesting difference between them in that since according to Abaye, one pays nezek if he is a scribe or a baseball pitcher, so he would get a large amount for the nezek, and then the shevet ketana would be just as a cucumber watchman, whereas according to Rava, since he's not getting nezek, so he would get a loss of his actual livelihood. If he's a scribe, he maybe he makes hundreds of $1,000 a day, so he would lose all that. Itmar hakoteya yad ebed ivri shel chabero, Abaye amar noten lo shevet gedola la'ebed ve'shevet ketana la'rav. Now we're talking about back to a permanent injury, someone who cuts off the arm of an Eved Ivri that belongs to someone else, so a Jewish slave. So he has to pay, obviously, but who receives the payment? Abaye says he gives the Shevet Gedola, that's talking about the Nezek, to the slave himself. We're talking about Eved Ivri, he still owns his own body, and so now his body is worth less, and so he actually is a slave, but we still will evaluate him on the slave market before and after. So that goes to the that permanent injury goes to the slave himself, whereas Shevet Ketanam, the loss of daily livelihood, goes to the master, because now he was doing some work in the field, and now he won't be able to do that work anymore. So that loss of livelihood goes to the master. That makes sense. Va'amar hakol yinaten la'eved bilakach behen karka ve'harav ochel perot. Rava says everything, both the nezek and shevet, goes to the slave himself, and the slave can buy land with it. He'll own the land, but since the owner owns the rights to the work of his slave, so the master will enjoy the profits of the land as long as, whatever, the 6 years that the Eved is a slave, however long he's a slave, that the slave can't work anymore, it's true, but he can do some basic work, but without a hand, he won't be as useful. But this is a good way of actually giving the slave what is due to him, because now he gets all the money, and the master also will get his compensation indirectly by getting the profits of the land that now belong to the slave. That's a good solution. Now we say, Pishita, Pichet etzel asmo ve'esel rabo lo pichet. So it's obvious that in a case where someone causes injury to someone else's slave, Eved Ivri, in such a way that it causes the slave himself to be less valuable, but it does not lower the value of the slave in terms of the master. So what would be a case? Hechidami would interrupt to say, what is a case like that? For example, if someone cut the tip of the slave's ear or the tip of his nostril, so the slave himself cares a lot about that. Now he has a deformity on his face, so he will be worth less, but the master doesn't really care about that. He's still doing the same work in the field, whatever he's doing, just fine. So the master doesn't care about that, but it does affect the slave himself. So in such a case, all of the money, everyone would agree, that goes to the slave himself. The master didn't lose out anything. The master gets all the payments. But if it's such an injury, like cutting off his hand, that affects the master also, because now he cannot work the same as he did before, that is the subject of the machloket Abaye and Rava that we just saw. Mishnah teaches boshet hakol lefi hamebayesh veha mitbayesh. In order to assess how much humiliation is worth, you have to look at both the one who's doing the humiliating and the one who is humiliated. The one who is doing the humiliating, if it's an important person, so then that he would pay less, because it's less humiliating to be humiliated by a very important person than by a lowlife. A lowlife humiliates, insults you, whatever, slaps you. So that's even worse and would have to pay more. And similarly, the mitbayesh, if someone who is normally aware is very important and rich and wears very fancy clothes, and then you cause him embarrassment and rip his clothes or something, he's going to feel a lot of embarrassment. But if someone who's usually all disheveled and wearing ripped clothes and all that and doesn't care about his own shame, and someone shames him, so yes, he still has to pay, but the payment would be less. Mane Matitin, who is the author of our Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Meir, v'lo Rabbi Yehuda, ela Rabbi Shimon. It can't be Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, it must be Rabbi Shimon. Why? Here's the other opinions. Ditnan, we have in a Baraita. V'cholam ro'in otan ke'ilu hem b'nei Horin, she'yardu m'nichsehen she'hen b'nei Abraham, Yisak v'Yakob, d'ibre Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, in all cases of humiliation of a Jew, we consider the person, whether they are Eved Ivri, they're a slave, or poor, or rich, or anything, doesn't matter. We judge everybody the same on the level of a free person who used to be rich, but then lost his property. This kind of in between. We don't treat the person humiliated as a currently rich aristocratic person who would get paid a lot, nor like a slave or current or someone who was always from a poor class, he would always get a little, but rather we do a compromise and everybody gets the same amount. Someone who was from an aristocratic family, but they lost their wealth, and so it's a kind of in-between status, because all Jews are children of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and therefore it doesn't matter. There is no class system within the Jewish people. Everybody is equally noble as being part of the nation, and so it doesn't matter, rich or poor or free or even slave, makes no difference. So We pick this in-between value, and all humiliation to a Jew is the same amount across the board, according to the B'Meir. So the B'Meir cannot be the author of the Mishnah, because Mishnah says it depends on the class status. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hagadol lefi Golo, Vakatan lefi Kotno. Rabbi Yehuda says it does depend on someone who is a higher status or lower status. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ashirim, Rinotan Kiluhim ben Nechorin, Shedu ben Nechsehem, Aniim, Kapechotin Shebahen. Rabbi Shimon says, yeah, we do differentiate between statuses, but what we do is we take all, any rich person, and we see them as if they were a free rich person that lost their money. So in other words, we take the upper class and we judge everybody to be the lower end of the upper class. And the poor people, we also take them all as one category and we judge them all as the poorest of the poor. This benefits the perpetrator who caused the shame. We'll have to pay something, but we'll pay the lower end of each category. Okay, those are the three opinions in the Braita. So now Maneh, who is the author of the Mishnah? Hashtai Rabbi Meir Matitin Katanya Kol Fim Vesh Mevit Bayesh Rabbi Meir Rabbi Meir Kulahu Behadeh Hadadeh Nin Hu. Let's see if it can fit with Rabbi Meir. The Mishnah says it depends on the humiliator and the person who is humiliated. So it does depend on the class status. But Rabbi Meir says everybody gets the same amount. Everybody is children of Abraham, and so they all are treated like nobility who lost their wealth. So it can't be Rabbi Meir. Now Rabbi Yehuda says it depends on if they're great or small. So that these words themselves could be. Could be the author of this Mishnah. However, the next Mishnah that we're going to see on the other side of the Daf says that someone who causes embarrassment to a blind person does have to pay. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says that a blind person does not have embarrassment, does not get embarrassed and does not receive payment for embarrassment. So since the continuation of the Mishnah says that the Soma does receive a payment for embarrassment, and Yehuda says not. So our Mishnah, I mean this Mishnah that we read above, can be the Yehuda, but the continuation cannot. So therefore, we're assuming that both Mishnayot are by the same person, and if the later Mishnah is not the Yehuda, then this Mishnah is not either. Ela lav Rabbi Shimon hi. Rather, we can conclude that our Mishnah is only the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who does give these two classes. Afilu tema Rabbi Yehuda. But we don't want the Mishnah to only be one opinion, so let's try again and see if it can in fact be Rabbi Yehuda. Ki amar Rabbi Yehuda soma en lo boshet mishkal min. When Rabbi Yehuda said that a blind person does not have humiliation, he meant to take money from him. If the blind person causes humiliation to someone else, he does not have to pay, right? He couldn't see what he was doing, and so therefore he's not responsible. But if he is the one who is humiliated, then he is given compensation. And so that would be consistent with our Mishnah, so Rabbi Yehuda can be the author of our Mishnah. V'ha medigtani sefer v'yesh et hayashen haya v'yashen shebiyesh patur v'lakatani soma shebiyesh patur miklat lashena hachi v'lashena hachi el machvat matitin v'bishimoni. However, that reading is not possible since the continuation of the Mishnah says someone who causes embarrassment to someone sleeping has to pay, and a sleeping person who embarrasses someone does not have to pay because he doesn't know what he was doing. So it does make a distinction for someone sleeping between whether he is the perpetrator or the victim, but it does not say that a blind person that causes embarrassment does not have to pay. It does not make any distinction for a blind person. So therefore, we can conclude that it doesn't matter. A blind person does, when it says he's patur, both ways, both as a perpetrator and as a victim. Therefore, the Mishnah cannot be the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, because the Mishnah says a blind person is totally doesn't get paid, nor does he pay for embarrassment, and Rabbi Yehuda says hayav. El machvata matitin Rabbi Shimon hi. Rather, the final conclusion is that the Mishnah can only be the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. We now continue and ask, man tena lehad tenur banan. Who is the author of the following baraita? נתכוון לבייש את הקטן ובייש את הגדול, נותן לגדול דמי בושתו של קטן. לבייש את העבד ובייש את בן חורין, נותן לבן חורין דמי בושתו של עבד. מנה לרבי מאיר ולרבי יהודה ולרבי שמעון. The Braita teaches that if someone intended to cause embarrassment to a person of lowly status, right now we're understanding katan to mean not a child, but someone of low stature class-wise. So he intended that, but then it turned out that the person who he spat upon or slapped or whatever caused embarrassment turned out to be a person of high stature, but that was not his intention. So therefore, he does have to pay that person of high stature who he caused embarrassment to, but he only has to pay him the lower amount as if he were a person of low stature, because that was his intention. Similarly, if someone intended to embarrass a slave, but ended up that the person he embarrassed was a free person, he didn't realize, he thought he was embarrassing a slave, because that was his intention, he only has to pay the lower amount to the free person, the amount that the free person, that the person who got embarrassed would experience had he been a slave, which is a lower amount. Who is the author of this braita? It seems it can't be anybody, not Rabbi Meir, and not Rabbi Yehuda, and not Rabbi Shimon. Right now we're assuming, as we just read, that katan means lowly in property value, meaning poor, and gadol means a person who is of high stature in terms of his property, that he is wealthy. That's what we're assuming now. We're going to see if we change this to my being actually a minor, then we can come to a different conclusion. Anyway, assuming that we're talking about someone of low class and high class, Rabbi Meir, remember, said that all Jews are treated alike. The humiliation, since everybody is the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Therefore, shame, someone has to pay shame for embarrassing another Jew, the same amount. Doesn't matter if they're rich or poor, free or slave, no difference. Obviously this cannot be Rabbi Meir, because the Baraita does distinguish between intention to embarrass a rich person or a free person, ends up being a poor person or a slave, so he pays the lower amount. That means there are different amounts, but Rabbi Meir says there's no different amounts. It can't be Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda thinks that slaves do not experience humiliation. But here, it does say that he pays the amount of humiliation as a slave would experience. He pays that to the free person. But according to Yehuda, slaves do not experience a humiliation, and there's no payment to a slave. Rabbi Shimon thinks if someone intends to embarrass Mr. A and ends up by mistake embarrassing Mr. B, he thought it was a wrong person, or he spit and went the wrong way, and he caused embarrassment to a different person, he doesn't pay humiliation. Now let's explain so they can't be him, because according to Rabbi Shimon, one would not have to pay at all, since he embarrassed the wrong person. My ta'ama, what is the explanation of Rabbi Shimon? Kik tala. Ma kitala ademit kaven le. Dichti ve adab lo ve kamalav. Achit kaven lo. Boshet name ademit kaven le. Dichti ve shalcha yada. Ve chizika bim bushav. Achit kaven lo. The source for Rabbi Shimon to say that if I intend to embarrass Mr. A and I end up embarrassing Mr. A, I don't have to pay, is because he compares embarrassment to murder. Just like for murder, you only get capital punishment if I only get capital punishment if I murder the person that I intended to murder. As the Pasuk says, if he lies in wait for him and rise up against him. These are extra words. You don't have to say both. So that means only if I intended Mr. A, I waited in ambush and aimed at him and hit him, then I get capital punishment. But if I missed, I got the wrong person, I end up killing someone else, although obviously it's prohibited, but that does not deserve capital punishment. So too, embarrassment, only if I intend to embarrass Mr. A, and I do embarrass Mr. A, then I pay. Otherwise not. How do we know? Because regarding a woman who intervenes in a fight between men and she sends out her hand and grabs onto one of the men's privates, so it means adchit kaven lo, she only would pay humiliation when the victim is also the person she intends to cause humiliation to. That's the explanation of Rabbi Shimon. Oh, anyway, now we have no author of this Baraita. So what are we going to do? Olam Rabbi Yehuda v'chi kamar Rabbi Yehuda en lavadim boshet demitba lehu aval lemesham shaminan behu. It could in fact be Rabbi Yehuda. When Rabbi Yehuda said that slaves do not receive payment of humiliation, that's only regarding actually getting paid. But in terms of making an appraisal, they do feel embarrassment. It's not that they don't feel embarrassment, and you can appraise how much is this embarrassment worth. You know, you go to a slave, how much would you pay to be spat upon? So there's a certain amount. It might be less than a free person, but there is an amount. Now, it happens to be that the slave will never get paid that, because that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that they don't receive payment of embarrassment, but they do feel embarrassment, and we can assess a monetary value for it. So we give this, if I intended to cause embarrassment to a slave and ended up causing embarrassment to a free person, I will pay the free person the amount that a slave would feel. And that is a payment that can be given. So it could be, in fact, a biuda. Or we could say, in fact, that it is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. And when Rabbi Meir said that we make no distinction because everybody is a children of Abraham, Isaac, Yaakov, no difference between rich and poor, yes, he says no distinction between rich and poor, but even Rabbi Meir does make a distinction between an adult and a minor. So when you thought that gadol meant someone who's rich and katan meant someone who's poor, no, it means an actual adult versus a child. And so if I intended to cause embarrassment to a child and turns out that I spit upon or slapped an adult instead, I pay the adult only the amount that a child would have received. And lastly, v'katan bar boshet hu. Wait, is a child subject to humiliation? You know, a little kid, he doesn't know that he's being embarrassed. He doesn't understand the idea of embarrassment, right? Sometimes they fall or whatever, do something silly, and people laugh, and he laughs. He doesn't realize he's being embarrassed. So a minor maybe shouldn't get a payment of embarrassment at all. So the answer is, in kedamar papa demichlemu le umichlam hachename demichlim hu le umichlam. No, in fact, Papa says there is embarrassment for children in a case where maybe he's a little older. And when people humiliate him, the child will feel humiliation. And so too, in this Baraita, we're talking about not a one-year-old or a two-year-old, but maybe an eight-year-old, nine-year-old, who when embarrassed, does feel humiliation. And therefore, there is payment. It will still be less than the amount for an adult, but there would be a payment, and therefore this Baraita could in fact be the opinion even of Rabbi Meir. The next Mishnah teaches, Hamevayeshet ha'arum, v'hamevayeshet ha'soma, v'hamevayeshet ha'yashen chayav, v'yashen shebiyesh patur. Someone who causes embarrassment to someone who is already naked, so he's already in a diminished state of embarrassment. Still, if someone embarrasses them further, he has to pay. Or someone embarrasses someone who's blind, or someone who is sleeping. And again, those people are also already in a diminished state of sensitivity. And nevertheless, it is possible to humiliate them further, and one would have to pay. A sleeping person who, while he's sleeping, unawares, causes embarrassment to someone else, does not have to pay. Nafal min hagag v'hizik u'biyesh, chayav al hanezek u'patur al haboshet. And now another application of this principle, that you have to know what you're doing in order to be liable for humiliation. If someone falls off a roof, and as he's falling, he lands on someone and causes them damage and also humiliation, he has to pay for the damage, because Adam Mu'ad Olam, a person is always considered forewarned. And even though, even if you're doing something unintentionally, you don't even want to injure them, still you have to pay for the injury. However, you do not have to pay for the humiliation, because he did not intend to humiliate. Tenor banan, biyesho arum hayav, enodom biyesho arum lebiyesho lavush. Biyesho ben mahamad bebet hamelchas hayav, enodom biyesho bebet hamelchas lebiyesho bashuk. A baraita that expands on the Mishnah. If a person embarrasses someone else who is already naked, so he's already in a state of embarrassment, nevertheless, he has to pay. However, he wouldn't have to pay as much, because if you cause embarrassment to someone who is already naked, that's not the same as embarrassing someone who is dressed. where you'd have to pay more. Similarly, if you embarrass someone who is in the bathhouse and is already naked, and it's everybody's naked in the bathhouse, but you embarrass him further, maybe you point at him and laugh at him or whatever, or spit at him and things like that. So you still have to pay, but it's not the same. It's not the same amount if someone is already in the bathhouse and already in a state of nakedness and embarrassment. So he still has to pay, but not as much as someone who is in the marketplace and is in that context of the marketplace. The embarrassment would be a greater amount. Amar mor bi yesho adum hayav adum bar boshet hu. So now, quoting that, it says that if someone embarrasses someone else who is naked, you have to pay. Well, how could you embarrass someone who's already naked? Right? He's already in a state of embarrassment. So what else could you do? Amar papa mai adom da ta zika karchinuhu lemane v'atahu de'alinuhu tefeu b'yishev. So the papa says, we're not talking about someone who's already totally naked, because then you can't take off anything, any more clothes from him. Rather, we're talking about someone who was wearing clothes and a wind came and, let's say, lifted his robe. And so he is in a state of somewhat embarrassment. And then another person comes and raises it even higher, causes him further humiliation. You see, he didn't want to not have clothes on. The wind came, and so he was embarrassed partially because of that. And this guy made it worse, so he would have to pay. Again, it wouldn't be the same amount of payment as someone who was fully clothed, and then a person came and took off his clothes. That would be even more, because this person was already halfway there because of the wind.
Similarly,
if you embarrass someone in the bathhouse, so the Baraita taught, so we ask, well, he's already in the bathhouse, or he's already in a state of nakedness, what else could a person do? It? A papas explains, no, he's not actually in a bathhouse where he'd be totally naked, but rather he's bathing on the side of a river where they people undress only partially or are very discreet, and then someone else comes and causes even further embarrassment. Maybe he was just wearing a shirt, and the person comes and takes off even the shirt if he was washing his feet, for example. Okay, by Rabbi Abba bar Meimal, by Yeshua Yashenu Met Mahu, Mai Kamei Ba'ale. So Rabbi Abba bar Meimal has a question. If you embarrass someone who is sleeping, now we already said that you have to pay, even though that person's sleeping. But in this case, they're sleeping and then they die in their sleep. From whatever causes, the guy's sleeping, a person comes and causes him embarrassment, but then he has a heart attack while he's sleeping, unrelated to the embarrassment, and so he never wakes up to feel that embarrassment. He's sleeping, so he doesn't know that he was embarrassed. So let's clarify this question. Are you paying for the actual feeling of embarrassment? And since this person died before he woke up and felt the embarrassment and even knew about it, so therefore there was no feeling of embarrassment, and so therefore the perpetrator does not have to pay the family. Or is it due to disgrace? It's the fact that the person was humiliated, even if they didn't feel it, whether they felt it or not. You're not allowed to cause disgrace to another person in front of other people. That's the prohibition in and of itself. And even if that person didn't feel it because they died in their sleep, you still have to pay because you caused this disgrace in front of others, and therefore you have to pay the family. So Hashem, let's try to answer this question. Rabbi Meir Omer, Charesh v'Katan yesh lahen boshet, Shoteh en lo boshet. Well, let's try to prove it from a Baraita, where Rabbi Meir says, a deaf person and a minor, they do have, they feel embarrassment and they are paid for embarrassment. Whereas a shoteh, someone who is not mentally competent, does not have a feeling of embarrassment and is not paid for paid as such. So if you say it's because of disgrace, well, that explains why you would have to pay for causing embarrassment to a minor. Let's say it's a little kid, a baby. does not really feeling anything, but nevertheless, it is, you are disgracing a human being. So that would make sense why you'd have to pay. But because of the actual feeling of embarrassment, is a 2-year-old capable of feeling humiliation? What does he know about what that he's being humiliated? He wouldn't have to pay. So now we ask the other way. So now what? You're concluding it's because of the fact of disgrace. Whether even if there's no embarrassment, well, what about the other point in the Braita? Afilu shoteh nameh. Shoteh, doesn't get paid. Why not? A shoteh also is getting disgraced, whether he feels it or not. So you should have to pay if it's because of the prohibition that you just can't disgrace another human being. Amre shoteh nechaboshet gedola mizo. Now we can answer that by explaining that someone who is mentally incompetent is already in a state of embarrassment. There's no greater embarrassment than that. He's already degraded, and so independent of the feeling, he doesn't know that he's being embarrassed, and the point of disgracing, he's already in a state of disgrace, and therefore anything that this perpetrator is doing is not making it any worse, and that's why a shoteh does not get paid. Anyway, we can explain this Baraita both ways, so there's no proof. Mikol makom nishot mina mishum ziluta hu, de'im mishum kisufa katan bar kisufa hu. But maybe we still can prove it from here, because that the reason is for disgrace. Because if it was because of embarrassment, does a child feel embarrassment? And the answer is kedamara papa. What about as the papa says in a different context? It's actually in this context, it's just coming up in a minute, that our papa's original statement, but now we're borrowing that statement for here. We're talking about a minor who does feel embarrassment. We're not talking about a 1-year-old that doesn't know anything, but rather an older child, certainly a 10-year-old feels embarrassment. And so we're talking about that case, and that's why, yes, in fact, it can be that it could be because of embarrassment, and minors would feel embarrassed. Okay, so we don't have an answer to this to the question, but now we have another version, another understanding of the question itself. Rapapa amar hachim ba'ale mishum kisufa didehu vehu mayit le o dilma mishum boshet mishpacha. Okay, in this version, we're forgetting about the disgrace, the actual prohibition of disgracing a person, whether they feel it or not. That was one of the sides before. Nana Papa is reinterpreting, is giving his understanding of Rabbi Abba Bar Memal's question, that is it the embarrassment of the person himself who got embarrassed, or that's what he has to pay, or is it because of the family? And when one member of a family is shamed, then that brings shame upon the whole family, and the perpetrator has to pay. Pay even if the person himself died, right? So again, we're still talking about the case of you embarrass someone and then they die, so they never felt it themselves, but the family still felt that shame. So you still have to pay the family if it's because of that. So that's the two sides of the question. And again, we go through the same exercise trying to prove from the Braita, Tashima Chedesh Vekatan, Yesh Lo Boshet, Shote En Lo Boshet. The Braita taught that a deaf person and a minor do get paid embarrassment, but and someone not mentally competent does not get paid in for embarrassment. Iyamat bishlam mishum boshet mishpacha, haynu tekani katan, ele iyamat mishum kisufa dideh katan bar boshet. Who, if the compensation is for the shame that's brought upon the family, then it makes sense that even if it's a baby, you'd still have to pay, because the family does still feel shame. But if you say it's because of the individual feeling of shame, then a small child does not feel shame. Why would he have to pay? So it seems it's because of the family. But then on the other hand, if it's because of shame brought upon the family, then even for a shoteh, one should have to pay, because even if the shoteh does not know what's going on, the family still feels shame. Shoteh en lechaboshet gula mizo. We answer, no, that the shoteh is already in a state of humiliation, and so there's nothing that one could do to bring even further shame upon the family. So it can in fact be that's because of the family. Mikol makom nifshot minad mishum boshet mishpachad im mishum kisufa katan bar kisufa hu. Can we prove that it is in fact because of the disgrace upon the family, because if it's only for individual humiliation, is a small child capable of feeling humiliation? Amar Papa, in de mechlim nule umichla. Amar Papa says, yes, in fact, we're talking about a child that's of age that he would feel humiliation if humiliated. This is Rav Papa's original statement right here, even though we re-quoted it a couple of times beforehand, but this is the original spot. Okay, so it could be this way and it could be that way. Now, Vehatanya, and now we're just proving Rav Papa's point that there is a distinction between a very young child and an older child. Rabbi Omer, Haresh, Yeshlo, Boshet, Shoten, Boshet, Katan, Pamim, Yeshlo, Boshet, Yeshlo, Pamim, En, Lo. It could be done as he says, that deaf person does feel shame, whereas a mentally competent person never feels shame, and a minor, sometimes he does, and sometimes he doesn't. Ha de michlim nule michlam, ha de michlim nule vela michlam. When does he, when doesn't he? When he's of age, that if you embarrass him, he feels embarrassment, then yes, you have to pay. And if he's of an age that you embarrass him and he doesn't feel embarrassment, then you do not have to pay. Baruch Adonai le'olam, amen ve'amen.